بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 29th of September in the year 2020 Alhamdulillah, I spent the session last night talking about the glorious pillar of our blessed deen, Izzat. So obviously next in virtue comes the awesome priceless deed of Sadaqah. So our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said in Tariq Baghdad, volume 8, page 204, As-sadaqatu tamna'u sab'ina naw'am min anwa'i al-bala'i ahwanuhal judhamu al-baras. Sadaqah prevents 70 types of calamities, the least calamity of which is the decaying of the body and white spots. Sadaqah prevents 70 types of calamities, the least calamity of which is the decaying of the body and white spots. So in this blessed report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that Sadaqah is a great protection against misfortune, i.e. calamities, and he mentions 70. But then he mentioned that the least of which is the decaying of the body. So some scholars say this refers to leprosy. Others, they say it could refer to other types of ailments in which the body decays. So some of the ulama said it could refer to cancer as well, because the body decays. And white spots, walbaras, i.e. it protects you from this. So note how in particular the glorious deed of Sadaqah protects one from potentially fatal ailments. Subhanallah. So what's interesting? People are obsessed about their health. And there's nothing wrong with that. MashaAllah, it's part of our deen. Iman comes first, then health, then wealth. And what about Sadaqah? You know, think about that. They've got all the vitamins, they've got all the minerals, they've got all the exercises. If you got Sadaqah in your ornament, then the person looks and he goes, well, what's that going to do with health? And there you go. It prevents the least calamity of which is the decaying of the body and white spots. So note, we should regularly give, not just for the rewards, but also to preserve the health that we've been blessed with. Confirming this reality further, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sadaqah prolongs life, wards off an evil death, and removes pride. Sadaqah prolongs life, wards off an evil death, and removes pride. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, Tabarani in his Kabir, Ibn Khuzaymah Sahih, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 4609, Targhim number 608. So three things now mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It prolongs life. So obviously linking it to health, you live a longer and more healthier life. It also refers to the fact that Allah Ta'ala blesses you with your life, that you can do more in your allotted share of time. Secondly, which is an essential for all of us, it wards off an evil death. So if you die in a bad manner, that's a bad sign. But if you regularly give sadaqah, it protects you from an evil death. Subhanallah. And thirdly, it takes away from your heart pride. And that again is an obligatory part of purification of the heart. So how does it work? It's like, it's medicine. You know, we don't ask the doctors how does the medicine work. They prescribe the medicine, they give it. But when you give sadaqah, it takes away pride. So a person who regularly gives, you notice that he's the furthest from pride. Allah Ta'ala removes pride from their hearts. And those who have great pride, they're misers. You notice that. Right? So this is interesting. How it works, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So note, when you're giving sadaqah, the last thing you should be thinking of is I'm benefiting the poor. You are far, far more so benefiting yourself. The poor, of course, you know, they get the wealth, but really, who's benefiting who? Note also how sadaqah impacts upon the purity of the heart, about which our beloved messenger also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man gives sadaqah and a white spot is engraved in his heart. SubhanAllah. A man gives sadaqah and a white spot is engraved in his heart. This is in Qurtubi in his tafsir, page 152 of the English translation, I volume 1. So the heart, famously we know that when you commit sins, it creates rust on the heart. So eventually the heart becomes completely, like the Quran says, covered with ra'an, which means now it won't respond. But for a deed to instantly engrave a white spot, how great a deed is that? And sadaqah is such a deed. It has an immense impact on the upon the purity of the heart. Thus how informative that our beloved messenger would make this dua regularly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi min tama'in yudni ila taba'in. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the greed that takes one to defects. Subhanallah. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the greed that takes one to defects. This is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 22,082 or 8-237. So let's look at this. So this is a dua. A'udhu billahi min tama'in yudni ila taba'in. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the greed that takes one to defects. Look how interesting. A person who is actually a miser, he deludes himself into thinking he's benefiting himself. Isn't that true? And the reality is, he's taken a path that will take him to defects. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge in that. He goes, Ya Allah, don't put me on that path. And how many people sadly fall into it? So how simply and beautifully did our beloved messenger put it when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iyaka wattama fa innahu fakrun hadir. Beware of greed. For in reality, it is instant poverty. Beware of greed. For in reality, it is instant poverty. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, number 7753 or 5-403. So think about that. If you want to know who the instant pauper is, he's the one who's a miser. He's actually a pauper, the Prophet said, Allah, because instant poverty, meaning he's causing untold harm to himself. Iyaka wattama'a fa'innahu faqrun hadir. Immediately, he says, it causes poverty. So again, and also there's a, in the seerat of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man, he was the chief of a tribe, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about him, and he goes, he's a miser. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replaced him. He goes, he's not your chief. Because what illness can be worse than miserliness? And you put somebody else as the chief. Meaning a person is not worthy to lead if he's got that trait. He's miserly, meaning he's not worthy to lead a people. In contrast, despite what we think, our beloved messenger articulated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqah repels 70 calamities, the least of which is poverty. Sadaqah repels 70 calamities, the least of which is poverty. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 4,402, Kanzul Omar. So look how interesting. When you actually give sadaqah, what happens? Shaitan puts a great was on you. He goes, yes, yes, you'll get a reward, but you're losing out. So what are you losing out? Some money. And the response is, he's lying to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the least effect of sadaqah is that it protects you from poverty. So if you want to get out of poverty, you should give. Look how interesting that is. A person, even rationally, that doesn't make sense. If I give, I'm losing financially. The answer is no, you're not. It's a leap of faith, if you want to put it in our jargon. You give and see what happens. And you'll notice that a person who gives, he will testify to it. Always he testifies to it. Because I'm giving and Allahu Akbar, it's like somebody gave me, you know, another door opened up for me. Who's opened that door for you? And that is the least, meaning there's other 69 things Allah Ta'ala is going to bless you with. Clarifying further, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, assist your rizq by giving sadaqah. SubhanAllah. Assist your rizq by giving sadaqah. So what is rizq? When people say, I haven't got enough to live on, I need to pay my bills and this, that, that's part of your rizq. Even though it's a very limited understanding. You can help your rizq. How do you help your rizq? The Prophet goes, give sadaqah. Then an ooz and ah start again. Oh, brother, who said that? Prophet ﷺ said it. And if he goes, ooh, and after that, you better stop, brother, because your iman's in jeopardy now. Right? So if you give, you're actually benefiting yourself. You're not benefiting anybody else. That's the least on the wavelength when you give. It is also important for those who give never to think that they are better than the receiver. This is another disaster. So you get people, I don't know what planet they are, right? They give money. And they expect everybody to now respect them. Khans have built a well in the village, did they? So why are you telling me that for then? Why do people need to know about that? Right? And there's the illness. If you think you are better than the one that who's receiving, something's gone wrong. Who said something's gone wrong? Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, how beautiful is the humbleness of the wealthy man before the poor in the desire for the reward from Allah the Most High. But more beautiful still is the stateliness of the poor man before the wealthy, trusting in Allah, the Almighty and Majestic. Subhanallah. This is recorded by Shaykh Makki in his Qut al-Qulub 2-41, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 48 of the English translation. So let's look at these two pregnant words of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu. He goes, these two, he goes, they have great beauty. The first is the wealthy man who's humble. Who is he humble in front of? The poor. How does that work with the shenanigans that we see? So the one who's giving, he's the one who's showing humility. Why? Because he desires reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are these people? That probably come from in your hands. No, when a person gives, chest stick in that, why are you sticking your chest out from the right? He goes, that's a beautiful person. Meaning, he doesn't think he's better than the one receiving. But then he goes, but even more beautiful, somebody greater than that person, is the stateliness of the poor man before the wealthy, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, even though you've given it to him and you're showing humility, it's a beautiful thing. But if he has put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's greater than what you... He goes, that's even more beautiful. So what do you notice? Our deen has an outward and there's an inward. Unfortunately, we're outward. And even that's breaking because we don't even know the outward now. So even by giving and receiving, look how amazing that is. So I'll say it again. It is important for those who give never to think they are better than those receiving. Think about that. How much money have you given in your, you know, short life, mashallah, with your great generosity? Who's better? And then you think, well, now you're saying there, but who are you lying to now? I'm the one who gave the money. I'm the one who helped them. Right, there you go. There's a serious problem. Nobody's alerted you to that. Consider also the beautiful words of Bishr al-Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi, when he said, never have I asked anyone except Sari al-Saqati, rahmatullah alayhi, for anything. Because to me, his abstinence from the world is genuine. How? Because he rejoices whenever something leaves his possession. And is also displeased when it remains with him. Therefore, I assist him in what he loves. You know what? You know, if you look at these reports, you're thinking, are we Muslim? So as this recorded, Shaykh Makki in his Qut al-Qulub 2-41, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 53 of the English translation. So Bishr al-Hafi, he was a famous saint, rahmatullahi, and he would only ask one man. He never asked anybody for anything except one man. Another great saint, Sari al-Saqati, rahmatullah alayh. And they asked him, they go, Shaykh, why do you ask him? Is there a reason for this? And he says, yes, because to me he is a true Zahid. They still didn't understand what he was saying, because he is a true Zahid. Because I'll explain. Because he celebrates when something leaves him. And he is upset when something remains with him. So I help him to what he loves. Look at the state of these people. They want nothing from nobody. But when there's a genuine person, they would say, Shaykh, I'm in need. But really, they wanted to take the bojh of him. They go, oh, subhanallah, yes, of course, take. Be honest, where are we on this wavelength? We're thinking, It's like, you know, we're looking at the stars. But how pure were these people? Whether they were giving or they were receiving. Think about that. Both ways, how beautiful is it? One is beautiful, one is even more beautiful. That's Sayyidina Ali radiallahu. Indeed, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would be irritated by those who would give him gifts, but would later expect some favor in return. These are not the fruitcakes. So, what is the sunnah? The sunnah is, if you get something without asking, you take it. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's half the sunnah. There's another sunnah which people don't mention. You still don't take it if the fruitcake wants something in return. Right? Think about that. Hey, brother, no, is this for you? I did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Year down the line, brother, I did that for you. You didn't even do this. Here's your gift. Take it back. How do we know this is not correct? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La attabihu illa min Qurayshi aw Dawsi aw Thaqafi. I shall not accept gifts except from a Quraysh, a Dawsi, or a Thaqafi. This is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 7363, Sahih. Now, why did he say that? Because somebody did this with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave him a gift, he took it, and then that matlab come. Seems like he said, oh yeah, I did this, Ya Rasulullah. And that hurt the Prophet so much, what did he say? I'm never going to accept gifts. Because I don't want people to give me gifts, polluted gifts. But I will always accept from three, and he mentioned three tribes. And these three tribes shows how pure they were. If a Qurayshi gives me a gift, I will take it because they're pure. If a Dawsi from the tribe of Tufail radiallahu, if they give, I will take it. Or from Thaqafi, from Taif. Now think about that. That would hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, our giving should only be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. Look what Allah ta'ala demands from us. When you give, in fact, there's actually a report which mentions that you destroy your charity when you remind of what you've given. It's destroyed. And not only is it destroyed, you've committed a major sin. Allah ta'ala gets furious by that. So for instance, you give something towards the madrasa. So what's the safest thing to do? Make sure that nobody knows it's me. Because once they know it's you, they're going to provoke you. So now what happens? Something happens. Next minute, oh, give that money to madrasa, why are you all giving me grief? There you go. You're reminded of your generosity. So when somebody gives you a gift, the sunnah is to accept it only if he's pure. Otherwise you say, no thanks. May Allah bless you. Some people don't understand that. They go, oh, the gift, the Prophet never refused gifts. And look how they're quoting half the sunnah. He did refuse gifts, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he didn't want you to fall into the major sin of reminding of your generosity. So not even gifts. We have to be sincere to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's fascinating is, if you read Surah Baqarah, there's three or four pages where Allah Ta'ala talks about sadaqah. That's shocking. You know, if somebody asks you, it's not a surah, even though it's long enough to be a surah. 3-4 pages continuously, Allah Ta'ala is talking about sadaqah. He gives you parables, he gives you warnings, he gives you encouragement. Why are there 4 pages related to sadaqah? Think about that. If there's another subject, and if somebody says there's a subject in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala spends 4 pages on it, isn't that an important subject? So note, Allah Ta'ala has discussed it in Surah Baqarah at great length. And what's interesting is, those verses are very near Ayat al-Kursi, the greatest verse of the Holy Quran. So all I mentioned today was basically a few blessed reports with regards to the glorious deed of sadaqah. And note the unending virtues of this majestic deed. However, you need to be aware of the pitfalls. People give and they think that's what I've done it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, the easiest part is to do the deed. The most difficult part is to protect it. I've given sadaqah. That's just the first hurdle, brother. Now you've got a lifetime to protect it. How many deeds have you destroyed because of pollution? Think about that. And then it's converted to a sin, let alone being a good deed. So note, we ask Allah the Almighty to help us in all our affairs. Are there any questions you like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم